speaking on this Way of Truth program is Brother Ken Willis.
Of human suffering is as old as the first tear, as recent as the latest newspaper. Why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow suffering and sorrow and heartache and death, even among His own children? Well, it's not a new question. It's an old one. It was a question raised by Job. And it's been asked by every person who has walked upon the face of the earth who believes in God. In the book of Job, chapter 1 and chapter 2, there's a conflict that's taking place in heaven between God and Satan. And God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Satan says, "Well, Job doesn't serve you for naught. He's serving you for what he can get out of it." So God allows Satan to test Job, just not take his life. And in one day, he lost all of his cattle, he lost all of his flocks, he lost everything, including his 10 children. In chapter 2, we find in verse 10 that Job's wife is even telling Job that he ought to just go ahead and curse God and die. His response to her was, he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not also receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips?" Well, his three friends come, and for 7 days they just sit and look in astonishment, no doubt, at the condition Job is in, boils from the sole of his foot to the top of his head and everywhere in between. He's in a terrible shape. Job gets discouraged, but he never loses his confidence in God. He said in Job 3, verse 1, "After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. Job said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, that there was a man-child conceived. Why did I not die from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breath that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet, I should have slept, then I would have had rest." Well, Job is discouraged, but he maintains his integrity, maintains his faith in God. We may never know the why of human suffering, but are there any lessons that can be learned? Is there any benefit that can be derived? I think the answer is a very positive one, that yes, there are blessings to be received if we have the right attitude. And I'd like to suggest in the time remaining today some of those blessings that can come from suffering. Number one, suffering keeps this world from becoming too attractive. The Bible tells us that Christians are just pilgrims and sojourners here on earth. The world was never meant to be their home permanently. And the Apostle Peter tells us that this old world is going to be dissolved, it's going to melt with fervent heat, and that it's going to come to an end. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14, "Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, we read, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." It's also said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, down through verse 5, that in this tabernacle we do groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation from heaven. So suffering can keep the world from becoming too attractive. If there was no suffering, perhaps there would be no desire for an eternal home, no desire for a better place. But with the suffering that we sometimes go through, this world soon loses its attraction. And we begin to realize that there must be something better in eternity. And we begin to long for that better world, where John says there are no tears, there's no sorrow, there's no pain, there's no death. The former things have passed away. So suffering can cause one to realize that this world is not as attractive as we might think it is. Number two, suffering can bring out the very best in us and in others. A man whose wife was seriously injured saw in the support of his friends and their encouragement, or in the preparation of food, maybe even financial support. And in times of natural disaster, there's outpouring of literally millions of dollars in cash and in funds and in materials that's going to the hurricane-ravaged states of Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi. And that's as it should be. And our hearts have been touched by the suffering that's been in our living room for hours upon hours, even though it was a month ago. People still suffering, and some's life, the life of some, will never be the same again. But we see the best coming out of that devastation. And this may be one reason why early Christians rejoiced in their trials, in their hardships. I read in Romans chapter 5 something about that. Beginning with verse 1, I want to read down through verse 4. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So the Apostle Paul was saying tribulations, when they're understood, can develop character and can lead to even rejoicing. So suffering can bring out our best and the best in others. Number three, suffering gives an occasion to silence the enemies of God. Remember Job? Satan wanted to prove God wrong about Job, that he only served God because of God's blessing him. But Job's patience under suffering silenced Satan. When Job had passed the test, then the devil left for a season. Well, in a like manner, God desires that we silence foolish men, those who ridicule the teachings of God, those who would ridicule Christians for living a life of faith, and then their suffering that goes along with it. I read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, for so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Those who ridicule the teachings of Christ as being foolishness. Those who say we're Christians only for what we can get out of it. Well, as we patiently endure during good times and bad times, the value of being Christians really shines through. And the faith we have that sustains us in suffering, and the love we show towards those who do suffer. So suffering can be an occasion to silence the enemies of God. And then number four, as we think about the blessings that can come from suffering, suffering makes us appreciative. We will all receive so many good things in this life. It's easy for us to become prone to take them for granted instead of receiving them with gratitude toward God. But suffering can help us appreciate the things that we sometimes take for granted. It may take sickness to cause us to appreciate good health. It may take loneliness to cause us to appreciate good friends and a loving family. A good example of how suffering can make us appreciative is the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. He wrote a most encouraging letter as one of his prison epistles. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Ending with verse 6. Paul was an example of one who was appreciative even in his time of suffering and being in prison. And then number 5, suffering makes us more dependent upon God. Too often we're prone to think of ourselves as being self-sufficient. And then maybe a tragedy occurs or sickness hits, and we're suddenly made to realize how much we depend upon God. At no other time through suffering, maybe, is one made to realize that we depend upon God for our very breath, as Paul proclaimed to the Athenians in Acts 17, verse 28. It's in Him, God, that we live and move and have our very being. And then 6, a blessing of suffering, it helps purify us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 7, we read yesterday how that the faith of a Christian is purified like gold is put to the heat, to the fire, to purify gold. And in James 1, our maturity can be developed through trials, that we're made stronger. And many times we maybe search our own life for meaning as to what is my failure? What is my shortcoming? But we find as we examine ourselves that we begin to realize that suffering comes to the good, it comes to the bad, and it's what attitude I will have during this that will be the determining factor as to whether it's a blessing or whether it's a curse. And then number 7, suffering makes us sympathetic. Paul wrote of the value of affliction when to the church at Corinth he composed his second epistle, and he praised God as being the God of all comfort, who comforteth us wherewith that we might be able to comfort others. It helps us to be able to comfort others in their affliction. Be more sympathetic. We may think we can sympathize with someone, but until we have been there personally, there's no real true understanding of their hurt. And so we're told to weep with those that weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. Romans 12, verse 16. And then the last thing I would suggest quickly, a blessing that could come from suffering, it teaches us how to pray. We all may be a praying people, but are we praying at the right time for the right things? We read in James that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much in James chapter 5. And we read in Romans that when suffering does come, we need to realize that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Romans 11, beginning with verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. The important thing is that we surrender to God in our faith, that we acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, having been filled with a godly sorrow, that we repent of our sins, that we confess the name of Christ, that we be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, and then that we faithfully live for the Lord all the days of our lives. Are you living in the blessings of the Lord?
Your speaker has been Ken Willis.